إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there's no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there's no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 17th session from the book of Shaykh Abdulaziz ibn Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Sadhan hafidhahullah, which he is entitled Min Akhlaq al-Anbiya, from the character and morals of the prophets alayhimus salam, yani taking them as a model to be followed in our daily lives. The topic that we are going to discuss tonight is the 20th and the final yani characteristic of the prophets that the Shaykh hafidhahullah has mentioned in this small compilation. And yani obviously, as he has mentioned at the end, that these are only a few of many of the noble characteristics of the prophets and messengers. Indeed, what he has mentioned is sufficient to occupy anyone who is sincere in trying to change their life and to model their self after the lifestyle of the prophets and messengers alayhimus salam. Yani it is sufficient if a person really tries to yani take on those characteristics, try to realize and actualize those characteristics in your life, in your real life. It will be sufficient. It will be sufficient. Tonight is the last of those characteristics, and next week inshallah will be the final class dealing with this topic, in which the Shaykh mentions some of the fruits or the benefits of the one who takes on the character, the morals of the prophets and messengers alayhimu salatu wassalam. And the final chapter is indeed important. Yani it is an inspiration and a motivation that hopefully will motivate every one of us to try harder to take on these characteristics. Indeed, some of them are more difficult than others. And the one who is successful is the one to whom Allah grants success. Before we enter into the topic of tonight, we're going to take a look at some of the points that we discussed last week from the questionnaire study guide number 16. The first question being discussed, the 18th characteristic of the prophets alayhimu salam mentioned by the author hafidhahullah. The 18th characteristic. Naam, Abu Sa'id. Now, the eagerness to distance themselves from the causes of ignorance and foolishness. Yani those things that lead to ignorance, to distance themselves, to be far removed from that. They were eager and diligent, and they strove, they aspired to be far removed from that. And indeed, this is something that a person has to work at. Otherwise, it's easy to act ignorant. Look at most of the people in this society, especially, but really in the world. It's easy to act ignorant. It's easy to be ignorant. That doesn't require a great effort. But to distance yourself from it. Naam. The second question, what did Nuh alayhi salam ask Allah for? And what was the cause of this mistake due to which he alayhi salam was reprimanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yani what did he ask for? And what was the cause of him falling into this error? Naam. Abu Jamil. Now he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about his son. Specifically, yani yes, he didn't know the condition of his son, but he asked Allah specifically for what? What was he asking him for? To save him. He was requesting from Allah yani salvation for his son, to be saved from the punishment of the disbelieving people. And the cause of him falling into this error, this mistake of asking for that which he had no right to ask for, was what? Now.
He didn't know the ending.
He didn't know the reality of the final end of his son. He didn't distinguish between the two possibilities of his son being from amongst those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him. Don't ask me about those who are from the wrongdoers, the zalimun, the kuffar, the mushrikun. Don't ask about them. Their matter is decided. Or was he from those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to carry on the ship? Two of every kind and your family. And because that's what he said, right? Innahu? Huh? Yani Nuh alayhi salam, he said to Allah, he is my son, he's from my family. And Allah said, he is not from your family. He is not from your family. Meaning that he's not from those from amongst your family who should be saved. Yani those who have believed. He's not from them. Rather, he is an unrighteous deed. Amal ghayr salih. The third question, what is the end result of asking for that which you have no knowledge of? Asking for something that you don't know what it is. You don't know what it will lead to. What will be its consequences? What is the end result of asking to receive that which you have no knowledge of and being among the jahileen, and therefore being among the jahileen? Now, Musa.
The end result is that you're going to be among the losers.
That you'll be amongst the losers. The end result is that you'll be amongst the losers. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Nuh, He told him what? I warn you from asking for that which you don't have any right to ask about. I warn you so that you will what? Not be from amongst the jahileen. And he responded, yani Nuh responded by saying that if you don't what? In la taghfirli wa tarhamni akun minal khasireen. And Allah said, I warn you from being amongst the jahileen. And Nuh, he understood, alayhi salam, from that the jahileen, yani that if you don't pardon and forgive me, have mercy upon me and forgive me, then I will be from amongst the jahileen, whose end result is what? To be from the khasireen, yani the losers. And the fourth question, what action is referred to by Musa, alayhi salam, when he sought refuge in Allah from being among the jahileen? Yani what action is he referring to when he's saying, I seek refuge in Allah from being amongst the jahileen? Naam, Ahmed.
Musa, he ordered Bani Israel with the slaughtering of a cow.
Naam.
And he said, do you take us as fools?
Yeah, you take us as fools? Are you joking, playing with us? Naam.
He said, a'udhu billahi an akuna min al-jahileen.
I seek refuge in Allah. From being amongst the... What do you mean, jahileen? What is the jahileen? What is he saying? That I seek refuge from being amongst the jahileen. What does he mean? From which?
Mockery.
Huh?
Mockery.
From mockery. From istihza. From making mockery of other people. This is from, yani, the actions of the ignorant. He said, I seek refuge. And they're accusing him of making mockery of them. Of belittling them. Of ridiculing them. Making fun of them. He said, this is the action of the ignorant. I seek refuge in Allah from being from what? The people who act like this. This is not from the actions of the people of nobility. And the fifth question discussed the 19th characteristic. And next to the last characteristics mentioned by the author, Hafidhullah, yani, and the example of Musa alayhi salam related to it. What is the 19th characteristic of the prophets alayhi salam mentioned by the author and the example of Musa related to it? And the, what is the 19th characteristic? Now,
They were the most eager of people in seeking an increase of knowledge.
Most eager in seeking increase in knowledge. They were the most diligent of people in seeking increase in knowledge. Yani they had knowledge, right? They were the most knowledgeable of people. But yet, they were also eager, actively searching, seeking increase in knowledge. And this is important because some of us may feel that we have a lot of knowledge. Yani when a person gets a little knowledge, they are subject to imagine they have a lot of knowledge. That happens to a lot of people. And when you think you have a lot of knowledge, you might think you don't need any more knowledge. But they were the most knowledgeable people, and yet also they were the most diligent in seeking an increase. Because the person who has real knowledge, it's only because of real knowledge, the more knowledge a person has, the more they realize that they don't know. Naam. And the example of Musa related to this characteristic? Naam. Nadir. Naam.
When he met Khidr, he thought he was the most knowledgeable person.
Naam. He had knowledge. He's one of the most knowledgeable people on the earth, a messenger, a prophet of Allah. But yet, guess what? When he realized that there's more knowledge, he wants to go after it. So he went on a journey searching for somebody who has knowledge that he doesn't have, who's more knowledgeable than him. Yani he was the most knowledgeable one amongst his people, amongst Bani Israel. But he wasn't content with that. There was some other knowledge somewhere else. Yani knowledge, that's from the good knowledge, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beneficial knowledge. He wanted to seek it. So he went out to seek an increase in his knowledge. Question number 6, memorize the supplication which our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was commanded to recite in the 20th surah, 114th ayat. Somebody else in the back, we don't see any participation in the back. The supplication, the, oh naam. You're gonna learn it right now, inshallah. Yes, that one. That's the ayah. وَقُلْ رَبِّي زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. This supplication is 3 words. رَبِّي زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. A tremendous supplication that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to use. How much more then are we in need of following the example of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asking Allah sincerely from our hearts, sincerely, for increase in knowledge, beneficial knowledge, that we intend to act upon. Because in reality, there's no real benefit in beneficial knowledge if we're not going to act upon it. As we know from the supplication of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith that Ibn Kathir mentioned in his tafsir that we reviewed last week. But anyway, the last question, memorize the supplication of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam asking for beneficial knowledge. The supplication of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam asking for beneficial knowledge that the Shaykh mentions. Naam, Musa.
Allahumma anfa'ni bima 'allamta.
Before that, that's from the tafsir Ibn Kathir. Naam.
Allahumma inna
as'aluka
'ilman nafi'an.
Aha.
Wa rizqan tayyiban.
Aha. Wa 'amalan mutaqabbalan. Naam. Allahumma inni as'aluka 'ilman nafi'an. All I ask from you, beneficial knowledge. Wa what? Rizqan tayyiban. Good, wholesome, lawful risk, provision, sustenance. Wa what?
Amalan
mutaqabbalan. Yani deeds that are accepted, that are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. What would be the good of knowledge that is not beneficial? There's plenty of knowledge that's not beneficial. Or the sustenance, the provisions that are not yani tayyib, or actions that are not accepted by Allah. And the supplication that Ibn Kathir mentions is tafsir, Ya Musa.
Allahumma anfa'ni bima 'allamtani wa 'allimni bima yanfa'ni wa zidni 'ilman.
Tremendous, wallahi tremendous. Tremendous supplication. And Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad, hafidhahum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them, has given a concise, a brief, summarized 2 or 3 page explanation of this supplication that's tremendous. It's tremendous. If you haven't read it, wallahi, you're in need of it. If you have read it, I have read it many times, and I am in need of it, to repeat it, to read it again and again and again. And this supplication, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asks Allah, Allahumma anfa'ni bima 'allamtani. Oh Allah, benefit me with that which you have taught me. And this is critical. Why? Because maybe we have gotten knowledge, but we didn't get the benefit from it. So the first thing is to ask Allah for the benefit of the knowledge that we already have. Huh? Wa'allimni ma yanfa'ni. And then teach me that which will benefit me. Yani not that which is of no benefit. وَزِدْنِي عِلْمًا, and increase me in knowledge. What greater supplication. This is the yani the جَوَامِ الْكَلِمِ of the Prophet ﷺ, comprehensive words. 3 short sentences. And that's tremendous, azim. Whoever supplicates with this supplication sincerely from their heart, there is no doubt that this is from the best of what a person could ask for. Yani the benefit of the knowledge that you have. However little it may be, some people may have more knowledge, but they are not benefiting from it. Either because they don't understand it, or because they don't act upon it, or because they're not sincere in practicing what they know, or whatever might be the reason. But there are many people who have knowledge, they are not benefiting from the knowledge. So we want what? The benefit of whatever knowledge we have, even if we have a little bit. We, the people sitting here, in reality, and I'm not saying this out of humility, but I'm including myself first, and hopefully you also include yourselves. If you don't, you can exclude yourself, no problem. But I think that most of us are in agreement that we are people who have little knowledge. Wallahi, we have little knowledge. That's a fact. And if you don't realize that, all you have to do is go and sit with a real scholar. And then you will feel like you are jahil. Like you don't know anything. It's only because, as one of my brothers, Talibuddin Shaka, used to say, may Allah protect and preserve him, the one-eyed man is the king in the land of the blind. So because we're in the land of ignorance, so we might feel that we know something, because there's no knowledge. But if you go amongst the people of knowledge, then you realize you just be silent. Sakat. We won't be speaking. The people who are talking a lot, wallahi, they will not be talking. Naam. So, yani, the last point, yani, it's not from the questions that we had, but the last point that we discussed at the end of the class last week, I just want to review with us quickly. Yani, the saying of Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, he said that, yani, there are six matters that a person can follow in order to achieve knowledge and benefit from their knowledge. Does anybody remember those six? Huh? Husnul su'al, asking the question, a good, proper question, Naam? Making effort to listen. To hear and listen. Not just hear, but listen attentively to the answer. Naam?
Memorizing it.
Before memorizing it. That's four. Three? Understanding the answer. Understanding it properly. You hear it, but did you understand it? The proof that you didn't understand it, you go back and tell somebody something different according to your understanding. Understanding. Good understanding. Proper understanding. And then?
Memorizing.
That which you have asked about, that which you have heard, that which you have understood, memorizing it, so you don't lose it. Maybe next week you forgot it, it's gone already. Memorizing it. And then five, before that. Teaching it, sharing it, spreading the knowledge, and finally, the apex of the affair is what? Acting upon it. Tremendous, subhanAllah. And then Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah mentioned the opposite of them too. And you can figure them out, inshallah, from what we mentioned. Tayyib. This evening, bi-idhnillah ta'ala, our topic, it is the final characteristic that the Shaykh has mentioned. And I want to say that it's an extremely important topic. I had actually considered last week to include it with the two characteristics that we mentioned last week in order just to finish the class. But when I looked at it and I thought over it, I said it would be an injustice to this critically important topic that we raced through it just to finish. So I hope you will be patient with us, and we extended this series by one extra week in order to deal with this topic of great importance. And it's not by accident. Don't imagine that the people of knowledge, that they present something in a certain way just haphazardly. Rather, it is intentionally that he began with khashyatullah, with having khashya of Allah, and adab with Allah, and being thankful to Allah. And these characteristics that he mentioned in the beginning, and he ended with this topic, which are two matters that are connected to one another, and they're inseparable. And they're inseparable. Of utmost importance. عَظِيمُ ثِقَتِهِمْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَامُ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَحُسْنُ ظَنِّهِمْ بِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. The tremendous, magnificent trust, ثِقَة, that the prophets alayhimus salam have in Allah, the tremendous, magnificent trust, confidence, dependence, reliance, faith that they had in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-thiqa billahi. Due to what? Husnu dhannihim bihi. Because of their good expectation. Husnu dhann. Having a good thought. about Allah. Yani having good expectation, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do whatever He wants to do. Yani, how do you think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you are in need of help and you call upon Him? Husnul dhan, it means that you have a good expectation that Allah is gonna save you. That if you call upon Allah, He's gonna answer you. That if you do good deeds in accordance with the conditions that are required, yani in accordance with the sharia and yani sincerely for the sake of Allah, that Allah will reward you. This is what you expect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you hope and you expect, because you know Allah is generous, He's kind, He's just, He's fair, He's merciful, He's forgiven, He's pardoning. That even when you sin and you ask His forgiveness, you expect that He's going to forgive you. You don't lose hope like the disbelievers. I'm done, I'm doomed. No, you have good expectation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That if you repent to Him, He will turn to you and accept it. يعني عظيم ثقتهم. يعني they had a tremendous, magnificent trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They knew they can depend upon Him and rely upon Him. Have faith in Him and He will not let you down. And husnul dhan, good expectation, having good thoughts and good expectations from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh mentions this subject in brief. Very, very brief. As this is, yani, a long series of characteristics that he mentioned. And he is just mentioning them in passing. And he mentioned in brief, one aspect of the husnul dhan and the thiqa and tawakkul ala Allah. And that is, yani, he mentioned the aspect of what? Yani, the prophets, when they had opposition from their people, that they put their trust in Allah. They had husnul dhan. They expected that Allah will, yani, rescue them. Allah will save them. Allah will punish the disbelieving, opposing people. And specifically with Musa, when Fir'aun and his armies, and some of them said he had how many troops? Horsemen, I don't know, whatever, soldiers, walking soldiers, hundreds of thousands of soldiers, they said. And they, yani, as we see, we might not have time to read the tafsir, but yani, when they were pursuing them, by morning, they went out in the night, and in the morning, Fir'aun's troops had cornered them. They were behind them, and what was in front of them? The sea. No escape. But Musa alayhi salam had husn al-dhan. He had thiqa billahi. He believed in that. Allah will not let you down, no matter what the situation. If we were in that situation, we would just give up. We would just give up. Except the person who knows Allah. And that Allah is dependable, reliable. Allah is able to do whatever. If you think good of Allah, you will do good. And Allah will do good by you. But if you think evil of Allah, you will do evil, like the kuffar. And then, the consequence, Allah will give you that which and you deserve. The Shaykh, he says, من أخلاق الأنبياء عليهم الصلاة والسلام, from the character, the morals of the Prophets and Messenger عليهم الصلاة والسلام, عظيم ثقتهم بالله وحسن ظنهم بالله. يعني their tremendous, magnificent trust, confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their thinking good, having good expectation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَالْأَنْبِيَاء, so the Prophets عليهم الصلاة والسلام, هُمْ أَحْسَنَ النَّاسِ ظَنًّا بِاللَّهِ, هُمْ أَحْسَنَ النَّاسِ ظَنًّا بِاللَّهِ. Now, they were the best of people in having yani, good thoughts about Allah عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, yani our Prophet Muhammad عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, he said, قال الله تعالى, that Allah the Most High, the Sublime, the Lofty, said, Allah Himself, He said, أنا عند ظن عبدي بي. Perhaps we heard this hadith before. I heard it many times. But in reflecting upon it, it's عظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أنا عند ظن عبدي بي. I am, Allah is saying, I am عِنْدَ ذَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي. عِنْدَ ذَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي. I am as my servant, my worshipper, expects me to be, knows me to be. يعني the one who knows Allah. أنا عند ذن عبدي بي. يعني just as my worshipper thinks me to be, expects me to be. That's how it will be. إن ذن خيرا فله. If he thinks good, خيرا, expects good from Allah, فله. Then he will what? He will have good. فله خير. وإن ذن سوءا فعليه. And if he thinks, expects evil from Allah, فعليه, then the evil will come upon him. And if this is the wording that the Shaykh has mentioned it with. This hadith, he says, reported by Imam Ahmed on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Usually, if I have time, I try to look at those hadith that are mentioned in whatever we are studying, examine them carefully, and see if there's some benefits to be found. This narration in these words, يعني إن ظن سوءا فعليه, I didn't find it in this exact wording, but the meaning of it is the same. I searched from the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, يعني 30 or 40,000 hadith in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, but in the Musnad of Abu Hurairah, he said it's narrated from Abu Hurairah, and the narrations from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu concerning this subject are many, are many. The computers, alhamdulillah, today help us, right? So, the closest I found to this wording in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed is the narration from Abu Hurairah from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ يعني that قَالَ يعني that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ قَالَ that Allah عَزَّ وَجَلَّ said, أَنَا عِنْدَ ذَنِّ عَبْدِ بِي I am as my servant, my worshipper, expects me to be. إِنْ ظَنَّ بِي خَيْرًا فَلَهُ If he thinks good, expects good from me, then he will have it. وَإِنْ ظَنَّ شَرًّا فَلَهُ وَإِنْ ظَنَّ شَرًّا فَلَهُ And if he expects evil, then he will have it. And what is the difference in the wording? In the book, the wording came, إِنْ ظَنَّ سُوءًا And in the Muslim Imam Ahmed, it didn't come so and became sharran. Same thing. And in the book, he said, fa'alayhi. And in the hadith in the Musnad, he said, falahu. And the meaning is really the same, except that, yani, if he thinks evil, then it will be upon him. Yani, the wording of the hadith is, if he thinks evil, it will be for him. But upon him means, right, it will be against him. And for him, evil means against him. Huh? This is the wording as it came, the closest I found in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, يعني, إن ظن بي خيرا فله. If he expects good from me, then he will have it. وإن ظن شرا فله. And if he expects evil, then he will have it. This hadith is sahih. Even though its isnad has some weakness in it, and we don't want to discuss that now, but there are other narrations, and Sheikh Al-Albani and other scholars said that the hadith is sahih. A similar narration came in the Sahih of Ibn Hibban under the title يعني rather not a similar narration, the same narration, same wording in ذَنَّ شَرًّا فَلَهُ came in the Sahih of Ibn Hibban under the title that he came with was interesting, I want to mention that he said ذِكْرُ الْبَيَانِ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ جَلَّ وَعَلَى يُعْتِي مَنْ ظَنَّ مَا ظَنَّ يعني that Allah جَلَّ وَعَلَى will give to the one who thinks whatever he thinks. يعني you expect good, then you will get good. If you expect evil, you will get evil. And then he said what? إِنْ خَيْرًا يعني if إِنْ ظَنَّ خَيْرًا If he expects good, فَخَيْرٌ Then he will get good. وَإِنْ يعني شَرًّا If he expects evil, فَشَرٌ Then he will get evil. In some of the narrations, يعني after this initial statement, I am, يعني the way that my servant expects me to be, يعني I will be as he expects me to be, In some of the narrations in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed from Abu Hurairah, he also mentioned what? That he said that the Prophet ﷺ said, after he mentioned this, saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am as my servant expects me, he said, أنا معه. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أنا معه حين يذكرني. That I will be with him when he mentions me. And you remember Allah? Allah will be with you. Another narration in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed. Now, And this isnad is also sahih. And in a third narration, in the Muslim Imam Ahmed, isnaduhu sahih ala shart Muslim, also it is sahih, he said, and عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِ بِي وَأَنَا مَاهُ إِذَا دَعَانِي, and I will be with him when he supplicates to me. And this discussion of أَنَا مَاهُ is a long discussion. But we know that it means that Allah will be with him with his knowledge and his power and so on, like this, right? And there's a narration like this, same wording, أَنَا مَاهُ إِذَا دَعَانِي in Sahih Muslim. Yani that I will be with him when he supplicates to me. And there's another narration in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, and the isnad of it is sahih. He said, "An عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِ بِي فَلْيَظُنْ بِي مَا شَاءَ." So let him think of me whatever he wills. And he think good, expect good from Allah, or expect evil, whatever you will. And how can you do anything, expect good from Allah, for the believer? But the kafir, wallahi, they don't think good of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last narration I want to mention, and there are so many, but I just picked a few of them that I thought were, and he brings some benefit to the discussion. Also in the Sahih of Ibn Hibban, he mentions the previous narration that I just mentioned, that I will be, yani, with my servant, whatever he expects from me, good or evil. He said, so let him think, yani, expect whatever he wills. Ibn Hibban mentions this, rahimahullah, under the title, ذِكْرُ الْإِخْبَارِ أَمَّا يَجِبُ عَلَى الْمَرْءِ مِنَ الثِّقَ بِاللَّهِ جَلَّ وَعَلَى بِحُسْنِ الظَّنِّ فِي أَهْوَالِهِ بِهِ. This is an interesting title that he gave for this hadith that we are talking about. This is our topic. That Ibn Hibban said, al-ikhbar, yani information, narrations, amma yajibu ala al-mar, concerning that which is obligatory upon a person, min al-thiqati billahi jalla wa ala, yani narrations about what? Having trust and confidence in Allah Azza wa Jalla, due to bi husni dhan fi ahwalihi bihi. And he having trust in Allah through husnul dhan billahi. Through what? Having good expectation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fi ahwalihi in every situation or circumstance. Husnul dhan billahi. Having good expectation of Allah in every situation or circumstance. Anyway, this requires discussion, you know, that we don't have time for. But I just thought that, yani, it was of some benefit to mention this. And finally, I want to mention in the narration of this hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, Al-Hafidh ibn Hajj al-Asqalani, rahimahullah, mentions in his explanation of Bukhari, Fath al-Bari, under the narration in Bukhari, قَوْلُهُ يَقُولُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي. Just like that, he mentioned the narration that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, he said, I will be as my slave, servant, worshipper expects me to be. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajj al-Asqalani explained the meaning of this in one line. Although he has a long explanation about the hadith, but he explained the meaning, and this is what I wanted to bring to us so that it can be easy for us to understand what is the meaning of أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي. He said, A قَادِرٌ عَلَىٰ أَنْ أَعْمَلَ بِهِ مَا ظَنَّ أَنِّي عَامِلٌ بِهِ. That it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, قَادِرٌ, that I am able, completely capable, عَلَىٰ أَنْ أَعْمَلَ بِهِ, to do with him, to do with my servant, مَا ظَنَّ أَنِّي عَامِلٌ بِهِ, whatever he expects me to do with him. Yani what, however he expects me to treat him, I'm able to do that. If you expect Allah to treat you good, Allah is able to do that. That's easy for Allah. He's able. He's qadir. He does whatever he wills. And if you expect Allah to punish you severely, Allah is able to do that. So the matter is in our hands, but it's not as easy as it appears to be. That you just hope for good and then Allah will treat you good, even though you don't do anything. Yani, husnul dhan requires that you, if you have good expectation from Allah, this is what moves you to do good for the sake of Allah. Believing that Allah is going to reward it. And the people who don't believe that there's hisab, yawm al-qiyamah, accounting, and that Allah is going to reward with Jannah, they don't believe that, so they do evil, because they don't expect anything. So they do evil, and therefore they get what? What they expect, evil. So there's some work required here. But the husna dhan means that a person knows that Allah is able, He's capable of rewarding you or punishing you. He's capable of doing that. He's capable of saving you, helping you, supporting you, answering your request. He's able, He's capable. But you have to believe that. So the thing is what? That you have trust and confidence in Allah because of what? Because of your husna dhan. Because you have husna dhan. Again, it's a long topic. That's why I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I didn't try to do this topic last week with the other two characteristics. We would have lost a lot of benefit. I'll mention here, before we go back to the text of the book, the statement of Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, under this supplication, it's mentioned the ayat in the Quran where Allah says, وَأَحْسِنُوا do well. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ For Allah loves those who do it. Hasan al-Basri said, أَجَلْ وَاللَّهِ مَا أَحْسَنَ عَبْدٌ أَذَّنَ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ إِلَّا أَحْسَنَ الْعَامَلًا He said, indeed, yes, by Allah, no worshipper of Allah does well, does good. يعني أحسن الظن بالله in his expectation of Allah. No servant of Allah expects good from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala illa ahsan al-amala. Except that he what? If he expects good from Allah, husn al-dhan billah, then he does good deeds. There's no servant who has husn al-dhan billah except that he does good deeds. وَمَا أَسَاءَ عَبْدٌ أَذَّنْ إِلَّا أَسَاءَ الْعَمَلِ And there's no servant who thinks evil, has evil expectations from Allah, except that he does evil in his actions. And then he said, have you not heard the saying of Allah the Most High? وَذَلِكُمْ ظَنُّكُمُ الَّذِي ذَنَنْتُمْ بِرَبِّكُمْ أَرْدَاكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ That is your dhan, your expectation of Allah, الَّذِي ذَنَنْتُمْ بِرَبِّكُمْ the evil expectation, the su'ad dhan that you had of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which caused you to be destroyed, and therefore you became of the losers. Yani it was your evil, su'ad dhan billahi, your evil thinking about Allah, evil expectation of Allah, that caused you to do what you did, that caused you to be destroyed, that caused you to be from amongst the losers. Al-Hafiz, Sheikh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di gives a good tafsir of this, but we don't have time. But anyway, I wish that we did have more time, but we don't. And Hafiz ibn Kathir also mentions it, and some of the other scholars of tafsir gave some discussion about this of importance, about this ayat that Hasan al-Basri mentions, but the time is upon us for sure. So we go back to the text of the book. After mentioning this saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hadith Qudsi, the Shaykh mentioned, Naam. I don't know if I made a reference for the place of it. Surah Fussilat, 41:23. The Shaykh says, he mentions two examples here after this hadith, the example of Shu'aib alayhi salam, and the example of Musa alayhi salam. And he looks at it from a different angle at each of them. The topic of what? Trust in Allah, confidence in Allah, and having good expectation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first one he mentioned from Shu'aib alayhi salatu wassalam, min husni dhannihi wa quwwati yaqinihi anna Allah sayansuruhu wa yantaqimu min al-kafirin. Paul. It was from the husni dhann of Shu'aib alayhi salam, his good expectation from Allah, wa quwwati yaqinihi, and the strength of his certainty in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just think about this, right? Husni dhann. He had good expectations of Allah. And he was certain, certain, that if you put your trust in Allah, Allah would not fail you. He didn't have any doubt. And may Allah remove doubt from our hearts and let us have yaqeen. Naam. Allah is the one who does whatever He wills. Allah is kind, merciful, generous. Subhanallah. How can we not have husnul dhan in Allah? Yani, we're supposed to have husnul dhan in the believers. What about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Certainty that Allah, it was due to His husnul dhan and the strength of His certainty that Allah will rescue, yani yansur, He will support and defend, yani the believers, and He will protect him, He will support him, وَيَنْتَقِمْ, and He will take retribution from the disbelievers, that he, Shu'ayb alayhi salam, said, عَلَى اللَّهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا, and He will put our trust, we depend and rely upon Allah, عَلَى اللَّهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا, رَبَّنَا افْتَحْ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ قَوْمِنَا بِالْحَقِّ وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْفَاتِحِينَ. يعني, O our Rabb, يعني, افتح بيننا وبين قومنا بالحق, يعني, judge between us and our people, and grant victory to us in our, يعني, contest between us and them with the حق, based on the حق. وأنت خير الفاتحين, and you are the best of those who judge, who rule justly, and who grant victory, يعني, to His servants. And we know that whoever puts their trust in Allah, Allah is sufficient for them. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُ. Allah is sufficient for him. Allah will suffice him, kafi. Allah will take care of your needs. You won't be short of anything. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا. Yani, meaning what? Having sincere dependence in the heart. Yani, tawakkul is from the actions of the heart. صدق الاعتماد بالقلب. And in the heart there is sincere dependence, reliance, confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to achieve whatever of benefit you are seeking and in order to repulse whatever of harm yani you are trying to escape from. Depending on Allah completely for whatever of good, of benefit that you are seeking and whatever harm you are trying to escape from. Put your trust in Allah alone. Now, does that mean that we are not supposed to utilize the necessary means? Yes. To achieve good, to repel harm? Yes. Do whatever you can. But put your trust in Allah. Not in the physical means. Not in your friend or your mother or your father. Or your wife or your husband or your children. Wallahi. Put your trust in Allah. But it has to be sincere. The one who sincerely puts their trust in Allah, Allah will never fail them. Naam. The Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di says, عَلَى اللَّهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا, the meaning of this ayah, that upon Allah we put our trust, يعني اعتمدنا, we have depended upon Him, that He will what? That He will make us firm on the straight path, and He will protect us from all of the roads that lead to the hellfire. And indeed, whoever puts their trust in Allah, Allah will be sufficient for him. And Allah will make easy for him his affair in his deen and in his dunya. رَبَّنَا افْتَحْ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ قَوْمِنَا بِالْحَقِّ. He said the meaning of this is what? Defend. يعني support the مَذْلُوم. The one who injustice has been done to. The one who is oppressed. وَصَاحِبَ الْحَقِّ. And the one who is يعني in possession of the truth. Against the oppressor who opposes the truth. وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْفَاتِحِينَ. يعني that the fatḥ of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His servants, يعني you are the best of those who, يعني here He said the fatḥ is of two types. فَتْحَ الْعِلْمِ وَفَتْحَ الْجَزَاءِ وَإِقَالُ الْعُقُوبَةِ عَلَى الظَّالِمِينَ. Anyway, the point here is what? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant victory. Yani, He will open the way for the believers through knowledge, through which they will use the truth to oppose falsehood, or by, yani, bringing His punishment upon the wrongdoers, the unjust, the oppressors, in support of those who are following the truth. And there's also some comments here, yani, for the sake of time. Go on. After this, the Shaykh mentions two ayats concerning Musa alayhi salam. The first of them, he says in introduction to it, by the way, the previous ayat I didn't mention, that is from what? Surah Al-A'raf. Surah Al-A'raf. 7th surah, 89th ayat. 789. And here the Shaykh, he goes on to say, من عظيم ظنه بالله, يعني talking about Musa عليه السلام, من عظيم ظنه بالله الظن الحق أنه سينصر المؤمنين ويحلق الكافرين قال لقومه. That Musa عليه السلام, due to the greatness, the magnificence, the tremendous, يعني good expectation of Allah, يعني الظن الحق, having truthful expectation from Allah, as based on knowledge, that he will, what? That Allah will support the believers and he will destroy the disbelievers. So Musa at that time, when Fir'aun and his army were pursuing them and they were up against the sea and there was no place for them to go, he said to his people, Istainu billahi wasbiru. Istainu billahi wasbiru. Yani, which one of us have been in a tight situation like that? Probably none of us. Unless somebody here has been in a situation where a whole bunch of people were ready to kill you, and they had guns and weapons, and you didn't have anything, and there's no escape for you. If you haven't been in that situation, then you don't really know what this is like. That the army of Fir'aun, the greatest army in the earth, is at your back, and the sea is in front of you. There's no place to go. Right? No helicopter is going to come down and bail you out. There was no helicopters then. Huh? And his people, they said, we're through. And Musa said, Kalla, wait a minute, not so. Yani, due to what? Azim dhannihi billahi. He had husna dhan in Allah. So because of that, he told his people, Istainu billahi, wasbiru. Seek help and assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be patient. And be patient. Seek help from Allah. And we always say this because we are constantly in need to be reminded. I'm pointing at myself first. To seek help from Allah. As the Prophet ﷺ said, احرص على ما ينفعك واستعن بالله ولا تعجز. Eagerly seek that which benefits you, but ask for help from Allah. He said, seek help from Allah, wasbiru, and be patient. With all of what patience yani entails. Patience in what? In fulfilling the commands of Allah. That requires patience to do all of the things that Allah has commanded us to do. The way that they're supposed to be done, in the manner that they're supposed to be done, in the time that they're supposed to be done. And to avoid, to refrain yourself from the things that Allah has prohibited. And to bear the harms, the calamities, the afflictions that Allah has decreed upon us. With patience. إِنَّ الْعَرْضَ لِلَّهِ يُورِثُهَا مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ. Seek help from Allah and be patient. Indeed, the earth belongs to Allah. Not to Fir'aun and his army. يُورِثُهَا, he will leave it as inheritance. When the other people are removed from the earth, he will remove them, Fir'aun and his army. And he will give the inheritance of the earth to whomever he wills of his worshippers. مِنْ عِبَادِهِ. And then he said, وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. What is the meaning of this, somebody? نعم. The ending, the good ending, is for the people of taqwa. The people who have taqwa, piety, righteousness, consciousness of Allah, who fulfill Allah's commands and avoid His prohibitions. The believers, the people of iman and taqwa. The good end, in the end, whatever happens in between is going to happen, right? There's trials and afflictions and calamities and all kind of stuff that's happening along the road. But seek help from Allah and be patient. Know that the good end is for the muttaqeen. This is tremendous from Musa alayhi salam, what he told his people. And just yani, briefly, yani, to comment on this, I look at the tafsir of Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, rahmatan wasiya. He said, استعينوا بالله. Yani, it means depend upon him. Rely upon him. في جلب ما ينفعكم. In order to achieve that which benefits you. وَدَفْعِ مَا يَضُرُّكُمْ. And to repulse that which harms you. and have trust in Allah that He will complete and perfect your affair. He will take it to the end of where He wants it to be. Wasbiru, meaning Elzamu as-sabr, adhere, stick to patience with that which has befallen you. Naam. Waiting, awaiting the relief from Allah. Yani, hold, be adherent to patience with what has befallen you, awaiting, anticipating, expecting relief from Allah. Innama al-usri yusra. And didn't the a prophet and his people, when the calamities befell them of all types, they said, Mata nasrullah? Mata, when will come the help of Allah? Huh? What? Ala inna nasrullahi qareeb. Isn't it so that the help of Allah is near? Naam. Yani, stick to patience with what has befallen you, awaiting relief from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Help of Allah is near. Indeed, the earth belongs to Allah. It does not belong to Fir'aun, nor to his people. And Allah will give it to whomever He wills, according to His Mashiach and His Hikmah. وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This is because they, even though they are tested for a period of trial from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to a wisdom from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though they are tested, فَإِنَّ النَّصْرَ لَهُمْ, but indeed, the success, the victory is for them. Yani, they are tested and tried for a period, but wallahi, the victory is for the people of taqwa. The يعني عاقبة الحميدة لهم على قومهم, يعني that the praiseworthy ending is for them over their people who oppose them. And this is the occupation of the abd, the worship of Allah. When he has the power and ability, when he has the qudra, then he must يفعل من الأسباب الدافية عنه أذى الغير. Then he must what? Utilize the means that he has to protect himself, to repulse from him the harm that comes from others. When he's able to do that, مَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَيْهِ, as long as he has the ability to repulse that harm. وَإِنْدَ الْعَجِزِ, but when he's not able to repulse that harm that comes to him from others, أَنْ يَصْبِرُ, then be patient. وَيَسْتَعِنْ, and seek help from Allah. وَيَنْتَظِرْ الْفَرْجِ. Yani, when you are able, utilize the means that Allah has given us to repulse harm from yourself that comes from others. But when you are not able, then what? Be patient. Seek help from Allah and await the eventual guaranteed relief from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Shaykh says, and also, and this is the end of what he says here, and also in Surah Shu'ara, yani 26th Surah, 61st and 62nd ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلَمَّا تَرَاءَ الْجَمْعَانِ قَالَ أَصْحَابُ مُوسَى إِنَّا لَمُدْرَكُونَ. Yani, when the two armies saw one another, when they faced each other on the yani open plain, the companions of Musa, they said, we have been overcome, we have been overtaken. Yani, they have captured us, there's no escape. But Musa said, قَالَ كَلَّا, no way. No way, not so. Kalla, inna ma'iya rabbi sayahdeen. For indeed, with me is my Rabb, and he will guide me. Yani, how to get out of here? وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever has taqwa of Allah, he will make a way out for you. Yani, Musa had no doubt. He has husnul dhan, quwwat al-yaqeen, huh? ثقة بالله, was no doubt in his mind. كلا, no way. إن معي ربي, my Rabb is with me. يعني, he said ربي, he's ربنا, but Musa now said, okay, you people are not sure, but as for me, إن معي ربي, my Rabb is with me, don't worry. And he will guide me. سيهديني. سبحان الله. الله عظيم. عظيم. نعم. And just briefly, Sheikh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di says, and when the two armies, I mean Sheikh Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir rahimahullah says, when the two armies met, and they were at the end of their traveling, they couldn't go any further, they reached the sea, so the sea was in front of them, and Fir'aun is behind them, about to overtake them with his army. At this point, the companions of Musa said, Inna mudrakun, we have been overtaken. But Musa said, no way. Indeed, with me is my Rabb, and he will guide me. Yani, meaning, Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir says what? Nothing will reach you from that which you fear. Yani, of Fir'aun and his army. It will not touch you. For indeed Allah subhanahu, He is the one who commanded me to go to this place with you. Allah has commanded me to go to this place. This very place. Naam. Like Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he took his wife Hajar and the baby right out into the desert. And he left her and she's, wait a minute, ya Ibrahim, has Allah commanded you to leave us here? Is it Allah who commanded? Okay then, no problem, go ahead. That's what Musa said. It is my Rabb who has commanded me to travel here to this place with you. And he will never, yani, break his promise. He will never break his promise. In any case, yani, he had no doubt that Allah would guide him to that which will be their salvation, so that they will be saved and they will be rescued from that which they feared. And the Shaykh, he closes by saying, وَبَعْدَ ذَلِكَ, and after this, yani what has been mentioned, the preliminary introductory comments that we made and the characteristics of the Prophets and Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam that we mentioned, he said, no, that what has been mentioned from the characteristics of the Prophets alayhi salatu wasalam, it is a little from much. قَلِيلٌ مِنْ كَثِيرٌ فَعَلَيْهِمْ وَعَلَى نَبِيِّنَا أَفْضَلُ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. So upon them, the Prophets and Messengers, and our Prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the best of salat and salam. And the Shaykh closes with this. And I'll just take a couple of minutes here. Yani, I didn't know if we would have time, but since we have a couple of minutes, inshallah, I'll mention, yani here, some comments concerning this very, very important topic that we have discussed tonight, of benefit, inshallah. Brief comments. Yani from Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah. He said, concerning, what is husnul dhan billahi? And this kind of put the thing into a more complete picture and a summary of what is husnul dhan. Yani husnul dhan, he said, أَذَّنُّ بِرَبِّهِ أَنْ يُجَازِيَهُ عَلَىٰ إِحْسَانِهِ وَلَا يُخْلِفُ وَعَدَهُ وَيَقْبَلَ تَوْبَتَهُ. Yani he said in one place, in Al-Jawab Al-Kafi, Ibn Qayyim said, the husn al-dhan, it is to expect from your Rabb that he will reward you for your good deeds, for your ihsan. Whatever you have done of good, you expect. You believe, you know that Allah is going to reward it. And that Allah will not yani break his promise, and that he will accept from you your tawbah, yani if you turn back to him. In another place in the same book further on, some pages away, he went on to say, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, حُسْنُ الظَّنْ بِاللَّهِ هُوَ حُسْنُ الْعَمَلِ نَفْسِهِ. This is a very important statement here, okay? The حُسْنُ الظَّنْ بِاللَّهِ, it is husnul amal nafsihi. It is actually doing good deeds, doing them well. And husnul dhan means doing good deeds. The one who has husnul dhan billahi, who has good expectation of Allah, it means that this is the one who has real husnul dhan billahi, is the one who does good deeds for the sake of Allah. And if you're not doing يعني عمل صالح, then you don't really have حسن الظن بالله. So the حسن الظن is not just in my mind, okay, I have convinced myself that I think good of Allah, I expect good from Allah, even though I don't do no good. No. No, it's not that. حسن الظن means حسن العمل. Means we do good and according to what Allah has legislated for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنَّ الْعَبْدِ إِنَّمَا يَحْمِلُهُ عَلَى حُسْنُ الْعَمَلِ حُسْنُ ظَنِّهِ بِرَبِّهِ أَنْ يُجَازِيَهُ عَلَى عَمَالِهِ وَيُثِيبُهُ عَلَيْهَا وَيَتَقَبَّلَهَا مِنْهُ. For indeed, what prompts, what moves and motivates the abd to doing good deeds is his good expectation from his Rabb. That's what makes him do good deeds. His good expectation from his Rabb that he's going to reward him for his deeds. That he will what? Reward him for the deeds that he done and he will accept them from him. Yani, it's the husn al-dhan that if I do good deeds, Allah will reward, Allah will accept. This is what moves and motivates the person to do good deeds. In another place, in the same book, further on some pages away, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, وَقَدْ تَبَيْنَ الْفَرْقِ بَيْنَ حُسْنِ الظَّنِ وَالْغُرُورِ. And this is very important, that has become clear. What is the difference between حسن الظن and غرور? يعني غرور means what? Deception, delusion. A person has been deceived. They have deceived themselves. Like these people say, he's resting in heaven. He's up in heaven. He's a kafir, a mushrik. He died and he's rest. That's غرور. That's not حسن الظن. That's not good expectation. That's deception. That's self-delusion. They have deluded themselves. He said, what is the difference between حسن الظن and غرور? Indeed, حسن الظن, if it prompts the person to action, if it encourages them and assists them and drives them to do good deeds, فهو صحيح, then this is correct حسن الظن. That moves the person to do the deeds that are pleasing to Allah. وَإِنْ دَعَى إِلَىٰ بِطَالَةٍ. But if it calls him to idleness and inactivity and becoming engrossed in sin, then this is غرور. This is delusion. Person has deluded himself. He said, secondly, حُسْنُ الظَّنْ هُوَ الرَّجَاءِ. Yani, حسن الظن, good expectation of Allah, it is الرجاء, hope. It is having hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whoever his hope pulls him to obedience to Allah, and his حسن الظن, his رجاء in Allah, it pulls him like a magnet to doing acts of obedience, and it pushes him away from disobedience, then this is correct hope in Allah. But whoever his idleness, his inactivity is his hope, and he has hope because he's inactive, that he's idle, and his hope is his idleness and falling short and fulfilling the rights of Allah, this is al-maghroor, the one who has been deceived. He has deceived himself. Yani, what is the point of this? That it means that a person can imagine that they have حسن الظن in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it's false hope. It's not based on anything. But true hope is the hope based on what? That I have been trying to worship Allah. I have been trying to be obedient to Allah. I have been trying to avoid His prohibition the best I can, even if I fell short. That's why I have hope in Allah's mercy, because I've been trying. But the person is doing nothing, that's not hope in Allah. That's deception, delusion. Al-Imam al-Nawawi said, rahimahullah, the scholars say the meaning of حسن الظن in Allah is that a person expects that Allah will have mercy upon them and that Allah will pardon them. And Al-Izz ibn Abd al-Salam rahimahullah said, إحسان الظن بالله, يعني good expectations of Allah, من ثمرة إعظام سعة رحمة الله وعموم مغفرته. Yani, having good expectation from Allah, it is from the fruits of realizing, regarding, looking at the vastness of Allah's mercy and the comprehensiveness of His forgiveness. Yani, the person who sees the magnitude of Allah's mercy and his forgiveness, then husnul dhan is the fruit of that. And the person who sees that, the fruit that he gets from that, from recognizing Allah's vast mercy and pardon and forgiveness, is that he has husnul dhan billahi. He expects that Allah will pardon and forgive. That Allah will accept his repentance. Naam. Because he sees how vast, how immense is Allah's forgiveness and mercy. And finally, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَحْسِنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, one of the great scholars of the people of Sunnah, one of the great scholars of Hadith. Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, said concerning this ayah, وَأَحْسِنُوا, do good, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, Allah loves those who do good. He said the meaning of this, أَحْسِنُوا بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى ظَنَّ, yani, have good expectation of Allah, for Allah loves the muhsineen. And the Prophet ﷺ said, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِ بِي, yani, I will be as my servant expects from me. If he expects good, then he will have good, and if he expects evil, then he will have evil. And we said that the meaning of this, and this hadith is sahih, Al-Hafidh ibn Hajj al-Asqalani said what? That it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I am able to treat my servant, yani, whatever he thinks that I will treat him with, I am able to do so. Sa'id ibn Jubair, rahimahullah, said, Allahumma inni as'aluka sidq tawakkul alayka wa husnu adhan bika, yani, O Allah, inni as'aluka sidq at tawakkul alayka. Listen to this, that O Allah, I ask you for sidq, sincerity, and my tawakkul, my dependence upon you. That is not faked. Some of us, we pretend that we trust in Allah, but in secret, yani, we are not really trusting in Allah. We're trusting in some money that we have, or some friends, or some weapons, or some, I know somebody downtown, he's going to help me out. Huh? O Allah, we ask you for what? Sincerity and our dependence upon you, for real. Naam. Allahumma inni as'aluka sidq at-tawakkul alayka wa husna dhanbika, and to have good expectation of you. And Ibn Mas'ud rahimahullah, he said, walladhi la ilaha ghayru, I swear by the one whom there is nothing that deserves the worship except him, ma'uti abdan shay'an khayrun min husna dhanbillahi, that no abd has been given anything that is better than husna dhan in Allah. This is how important it is. Huh? Abdul ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said what? No servant has been given anything that is better than husnul dhan billahi. وَالَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُهُ مَا يُحْسَنَ الْعَبْدِ الظَّنْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا عَطَاهُ اللَّهِ ظَنَّهُ. And I swear by the one that there is no one who deserves the worship besides him, that no abd has يُحْسَنَ الظَّنْ بِاللَّهِ, has had good expectations of Allah, except that Allah gives him what he expected from him. You expect good from Allah, wallahi, sincerely, Allah will give it to you. That's easy for Allah. Why? فَإِنَّ الْخَيْرِ فِي يَدِهِ, because the khayr is in the hand of Allah. It's easy for him to give to whoever he wills. And Al-Qurtubi, and this is what we close with, and there are a lot of benefits concerning this topic, long, but this is the last thing we want to say. The statement of Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi, the scholar of Tafsir, he said the meaning of this hadith, and that I am with my servant as he expects from me, it means, if he expects al-ijaba, yani that he should expect, dhanna al-ijaba in the dua, that he should expect that when he makes dua, Allah will respond to him. Yani when you make dua, expect that Allah will respond to you. This is husnul dhan billahi. Then Allah said he will be with his servant as he expects him to be. You expect Allah to answer you when you supplicate, Allah will definitely answer you in one of three ways, right? Either he will give you that which you're asking for now in this world, or he will protect you from some harm that was to befall you, or maybe the best, and Allah knows best what is the best of them, or he will store it up for you for as a reward in the next life. Guaranteed, if you call upon Allah, Allah will answer you. He said, ظن القبول عند التوبة, that you expect that Allah will accept your repentance when you turn to him, وَذَنَّ الْمَغْفِرَةِ عِنْدَ الْإِسْتِغْفَارِ. And you expect that Allah will forgive you when you seek His forgiveness. And finally he said, ذَنَّ قُبُولِ الْعَمَالِ عِنْدَ فِعْلِهَا عَلَى شَرْطِهَا. And you expect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept your deeds when you do them in accordance with their conditions. With the conditions that are required, right? Number one, first and most important is what? Ikhlas, sincerity. And number two, mutaba, yani following the sunnah, naam, doing in accordance with the sunnah. He said, and expecting that Allah will accept your deeds at the time when you do them in accordance with their conditions. Tamakkusan bisidqi wa'adihi wa jazili fadlihi. And this is holding fast to, yani expecting that Allah will accept your deeds and reward you in accordance with what? With the truthfulness of His promise of Allah and the generosity, yani the greatness, the vastness of His bounty. And if He says He will give a lot, it's easy for Allah. His bounty is vast. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.